professors.
Hey, but I'm going to put you on mute right now. Are you ready to start the show?
Okay.
All right. Shalom, good evening. Welcome to the broadcast of Spoiler Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba, one of the teachers here with the ISBHBK, that's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. I'd like to welcome you to our Blog Talk radio broadcast that we do produce every Monday, Wednesday, and we're trying to get this started off on Fridays also. As I'm doing a remote broadcast while I'm in San Antonio right now, I'm doing a remote broadcast from our school in Albuquerque, New Mexico. As you know, the school location in Albuquerque, New Mexico is 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. And we do invite each and every one that might be in the Albuquerque area to please join us for classes there at the school. And also, as I go ahead and pull up the address for tomorrow's Sabbath dinner. As you know, in Albuquerque, one thing that is kind of the thing that we do there in Albuquerque is to go ahead and I got it right here. One thing that the brothers and sisters and the families have to get together to do, we started this summer was to get out of the building, to get out of the school, and want to get outside, especially as the weather turned fantastic. But not just for the sake of the weather, but for, you know, just getting out of the confines of the school. There's nothing wrong with the school. There's nothing wrong with having a camp. When I'm trying to say that, but just want to get outside and be closer to nature, really. So one thing we started with every Sabbath, we already had Sabbath dinners that we were doing at different families' houses, where we come in every Friday night and have a Sabbath dinner, and that has evolved into the Sabbath feast, the Sabbath day feast. Where we congregate at a park, go over the Torah readings, and also have a feast, right? Where it's outside, where the kids aren't just cooped up in a little room, be it the dining room, be it the living room or the den or whatever, and just confined to just watching TV or whatever. That here we're able to go over the Torah readings outdoors. As we gather around, have the Sabbath feast, and then be outside and get more into an element where we can actually talk to each other, enjoy each other's company a lot more, as opposed to just Wi-Fi, as opposed to just getting lost in the internet or whatever. That now we can really enjoy each other's company. And one thing that's been started has been we get together after the Torah readings and the food and everything, and just enjoy each other's company. We've gotten into playing dominoes. We've gotten into playing skip-o. And we've had some pretty serious skip-o tournaments to take place during the deepness of summer, the extended days of summer, that it's gotten to the point where one of the parks that we visited quite often, there was no streetlights out there, to where we had brothers and sisters literally using their phones so they could see the card table. We had to keep it going, all right? And it's not that skip-o is spiritual. It's not even that dominoes is spiritual. The only thing that made it spiritual was that we were all unified together and being there. We was all unified together, enjoying the food, enjoying each other's company, and just having a good time with each other. And as you know, as Israelites, you know, the game thing, to use a biblical word, was definitely taking place. But it was a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. that is done there in Albuquerque. That's becoming a little niche there in Albuquerque. But for tomorrow's Sabbath feast, as I'm reading the message from the brother Aisha White Desire on the thread that we have, is going to be at, let me pull the picture up, Riverview Park. All right, the tomorrow Sabbath dinner, Sabbath feast, will be at Riverview Park. And we already got part of the menu items is going to be taquitos, Spanish rice, the paper goods, guacamole, salsa, Calabacita. I'm not quite sure what that is. Refried kosher beans, fruit, and the location is, now I'm seeing it says Butterfield Trail Northwest and Golf Course. All right, Butterfield Trail Northwest and Golf Course Road, which is a Northwest Butterfield Trail Northwest at Golf Course Road Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87120. They will be gathering together tomorrow at 12. They'll be gathering tomorrow at 12 because sundown is set for tomorrow at 5 p.m. With the daylight savings time now taking place, obviously it's getting dark a lot sooner. So they want to get started sooner to enjoy the most of the day where we can really enjoy each other's company outdoors, outside, in nature. So tomorrow, 12 noon, it's Butterfield Trail Northwest and Golf Course Road Northwest. But if you would just put it into your Google Maps or what have you, it is Riverview Park, if I'm saying it correctly. Yes, it's Riverview Park Northwest. And as you know, we do ask in preparation for the Sabbath, you know, that if it's possible that you might prepare the Sabbath foods before the Sabbath. Obviously, we're in the Sabbath right now, but you can prepare the Sabbath food before the Sabbath so we really keep a clean observance of the Sabbath. But if not, and you do want to come on out and participate, bring whatever you can. Bring what you can, come out and enjoy the convocation and enjoy the feast and coming together with other Israelites that are like-minded, that want to congregate and want to keep the law of the Most High as far as Leviticus 23 goes. As far as these are the Most High holidays. And the first high holiday Most High mentioned in Leviticus 7:23 is the Sabbath, which is a convocation, which is an official gathering of Israelites. It's official from the Most High. So please join the brothers and sisters tomorrow at Riverview Park. All right, that's Riverview Park, which is located again. Let me close this picture out. Which is located at Butterfield Trail Northwest and Golf Course Road Northwest, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87120. All right, as you join us there. If you're in the San Antonio area, there will be Sabbath class tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. At the school, 4218 Finnegate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217, in the zip code here. Please come and join the families here. The Sabbath readings taking place in San Antonio at the school starting at 10 a.m. Come on through, bring your families. It's really a good spiritual thing to partake in. If you're in the Houston area, as you know, the school 8524 South Brazewood Boulevard Northeast. South Brazewood Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77071. The zip code out there. We invite you to join the families there. And if you can't join the families there in Houston, as you know, they live stream the class tomorrow. Starting at 10 a.m. So we invite you to go ahead. If you can't get to the school, actually be a part of the prayers, be a part of the Torah readings, whatever. You can catch it live on YouTube at the YouTube channel of the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge Live. The Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, or ISBHBK Live. We invite you to like, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel so you might be aware of all notification notices of when the classes are actually starting. If you happen to be in the Norfolk area, 2610 Grambling Street, Norfolk, Virginia, they also have a Sabbath ceremony tomorrow in Norfolk that you're welcome to join. That one just won't be streamed live. Okay, the one in Norfolk will not be streamed live, but you're more than welcome to go and join the school, join the families there in Norfolk at the school, 2610 Grambling Street, Norfolk, Virginia. I don't have the zip code on me as of right now. But it's 2016 Grambling Street. Go ahead and get over to the school and enjoy the Sabbath with them as well. Okay? Well, all those pleasures being said, I'm looking for my brother, Brother Bod. We'll see what happens. I want to go ahead and continue and pick up with last night's class. As the title of the class, for those who got the notice, yesterday's class was titled My Confession. All right? Yesterday's class was titled My Confession. And one thing I was going over, and the point I was hoping kind of stuck out, is was going over the part where it talks about he that gaineth wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 18. Let me pull that up. Again. Where we at? For those of you who might be listening and tuned in right now, if you can send me a text, if you can please send me a text and let me know if you can hear the show. I know last night, as we I was starting to the show announcements and everything, and we made the announcement for all the schools and everything, and found out that we weren't broadcasting. That wasn't broadcasting. So if you can please send me a text, if you happen to be listening to the show right now, if you're online right now, if it's possible, now please send me a text with just a thumbs up, okay, or something, and let me know if I'm being heard or not. All right, it would be appreciated. But going on for last night's class, kind of picking up from where we left off at, from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, it reads, "For much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow." And part of my confession for last night was, and part of the continuing confession, is that I'm dealing with a bit of depression, dealing with a bit of sorrow. And I'll be honest, I really didn't understand where it was coming from. As I was meditating and thinking about over the years, how many hundreds of families, how many hundreds of people I've gotten close to, how many hundreds of people I've influenced, how many hundreds of people have influenced me, how many hundreds of people I've been in close contact with as far as the scripture and as far as this work. And mistakes that were made, right? And mistakes that were made. And in particular, with my son Azan, my estranged son Azan right now, who I fell out of contact with. And this is not a pity party. I'm not saying this at all to be a pity party. And realizing that in much wisdom is much grief. And gaining the wisdom of, as I was going over in last night's class, of knowing, I got to clarify this because I know there's some confusion with some people I spoke with earlier. A lot of people, and confessing that there were mistakes made, it wasn't a mistaking of applying the scripture as much as it was a mistaking of the understanding the time and season of the scriptures. I want to make sure I clarify that because a lot of people, as everybody knows who's been a part of any of my classes, as you know, I have really, I'm a pusher of studying. I'm a very firm advocate in studying because too many people come into the, and I've seen throughout my 30 years, this month, making my 30th year, it was December 1989 when I came to the knowledge of the truth. This being my 30th year in this work, my 30th year in this ministry, I've seen a lot of people get disenchanted. I've seen a lot of people fall off the course, if you will, because of the lack of studying. I've seen a lot of people who have not been able to endure because of the lack of studying. So I'm a definite advocate of studying. And the reason why I'm saying this also is because a lot of people come into this knowledge with no studying at all. And all they've got as a foundation is what they learned in church, of what they learned from their parents, of what they learned from the world. And they come in with those expectations, and if those expectations don't get met, it conflicts with the actions and the work that's required to be Yahweh Shai's disciple, to be Christ's disciple. And the mistakes that I made weren't because I was not trying to apply scriptures. As many people make the mistake, they don't apply no scriptures. They only apply a vision, a wish, a dream, a fairy tale, again, that they learn from the world, learn from whatever, but nothing from the scriptures. They have no scriptural foundation at all. where my confession is coming from is from my study of the scriptures. People have gotten hurt. I want to confess that it was never my intent to maliciously hurt or harm anybody. It was never my intent to ever want to lose anybody. That was never my intent. That was never my purpose for coming in this truth, for coming to this knowledge, for leaving the Navy when I did leave the Navy to pursue this work, to become a part of what became the road crew, to literally teach this Bible from coast to coast. Not as much as you might see Sakari these days or even a couple of other brothers that you might see on YouTube. But the very first road crew I was a part of was Ariella Tokal and myself. We literally traveled from New York to California to Albuquerque, New Mexico, San Antonio, Texas, New York and Philly, and even Miami, starting back in September of 1992. It was never my intent to leave the career that I was establishing with the Navy, just come out and hurt people, just come out and destroy people, just come out and be maliciously attack and malign people. That was never my intent. That was never my purpose. And that's why I committed myself to study. That's why I committed myself to so many nights not going out to a club, not going out and being in the Navy. That's all we did, but committing so many nights to just studying. Staying in the school, sleeping in the school, and trying to stay committed to the work, trying to stay committed to the Bible. But nevertheless, there have been injuries. Nevertheless, there have been offenses. Nevertheless, there have been people hurt. And that was never my intent. Okay? As I'm finding out, again, from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, it does say, for in much wisdom is much grief. To acquire the wisdom of the Most High, it's going to take a lot of grief. And acquiring the wisdom of the Most High, there is a lot of grief. I want to go over this a little bit, go further into this tonight, and tune in my confession. That if, as much as it's in me, if it could be possible never to offend anybody while being in this work, I promise you, I would want to do that. One thing that I've been known for over the years is to be a brother's brother. I might not be the hardest G. I might not be the ultimate workout dude. I might not be I'm gonna go to the club and be able to get the most women attracted, and I'm the player's player. I'm the silky tongue, smooth silk player. That's never been my stilo. That's never been my style. But just to be a brother, just to be a brother's brother, that is one thing that I worked hard on and tried to establish with a lot of people over the years, despite being affiliated with my name. So it was never my intent to want to hurt, harm, or maliciously do anybody any wrong. But as the scripture does say, and this is not to excuse myself and let myself off the hook, but Luke chapter 17, verse 1 says, nevertheless, that it is impossible, but that offense is going to come. It's impossible. I do want to get that scripture right now. That's Luke 17:1. I'm going to go there. And again, if you listen to any of my broadcasts before, if you've been in my class, you know this is a scripture I pull often. All right, this is a scripture that I do pull very often, that we're going to be offended. It is impossible to be in this work and we not be offended. That's funny. He says, dance like no one is watching, because they aren't. They're checking their phones. I like that one, bro. That's funny. And I think he said that much earlier today, but I'm just now seeing it. Again, 12 noon tomorrow at Riverview Park. All right, 12 noon tomorrow at Riverview Park. I was getting Luke chapter 17, verse 1. And I was just checking my phone to see if anybody had texted me. Let me know, are we broadcasting? Can you hear the broadcast? Hello, 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 hello. All right, Shemak, the water, I appreciate it, appreciate it. Okay, cool. So now I'm going to the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 1. And it reads, Luke 17, chapter 17, verse 1 says, "Then said he unto the disciples," obviously this is Christ speaking, Yahweh is Christ speaking, and he's saying this to his disciples. He's saying this to his students. "It is impossible without offenses will come." It's impossible to be in this work with Christ and people are not going to get offended. It's impossible. All right? We're babes. As the scripture says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's impossible for us to be in this work. It's impossible for us to come from all the different backgrounds that we're coming from and trying to gather together for the first time as a nation since Solomon. All right? Since the time of Solomon, after the kingdom split, once his son came into rulership, to physically actually come together again as a nation. We know from 933 BC is the last time we were gathered together as one, calling ourselves Israelites. And 722 BC, the kingdom split. I'm sorry, 933 BC, the kingdom split. 722 BC is when the northern kingdom of Israel was pushed out of Israel. They were exiled out of the land of Israel. And again, that was 722 BC, 722 years before Christ. We have the expulsion of the 10 and a half tribes out of Israel, okay, to be scattered throughout the rest of the world, and eventually the majority of them gathered here in what became known as the Americas. We have 70 AD when the southern kingdom of Judah was now kicked out of the land. Some almost 800 years later. Then we're seeing from 70 AD to approximately 1500 years later, 1619, we had the slave ships coming. Right? The slave ships coming. Not the ones that were started by the Portuguese, but the ones that actually brought the first slaves to the Americas, 1619. So in all that amount of time, we have not been, that was the first time we were now physically in the same location, and even the same continent as being gathered together here in North America. And then having to go through all of this time in history to now get to the point where 1970s, it starts coming out on a more of a wide scale understanding that we're the Israelites, that we are the people of the Bible. That's a long time. Okay, that's a long time. So all the different backgrounds that we've been forced into and that we've been become accustomed to, and coming together, Christ tells us, Luke 17:1, "Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come." Now, usually I'll stop it there, but I'm reading the next part. But it says, "But woe unto him through whom they come." And this is why I'm attaching that part to Ecclesiastes 1:18, where it says, "And much wisdom is much grief." That in our coming together, the offenses that are committed, the offenses that happen, not out of maliciousness, not out of guile, not out of wanting to see anybody hurt, anybody left out, anybody destroyed, but the offenses happen. And that woe, I've always before read this woe as destruction to the one who causes it. And it is a destruction. But as I look at this now from this side, to look at it and understand, it says it is impossible that offense will come, but woe unto him through whom it come. It were better for him than a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast to the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And understanding that now, the sorrow and the depression that a man feels if he's got any type of conscience, which I'm sure many people do have, that to come back now and realize, again, the mistakes that were made, not out of maliciousness, not out of the desire to want to hurt or destroy or cast down, cast away anybody, but to understand and look back, understand the hurt that does happen It almost, I'm not saying that it has, but almost will give a man suicidal thoughts. It will put a person in a very deep depression. They come back and think about all the faces, all the people, all the smiles, all the unity, all the spirit that's been expended on people. And they're no longer around. Not that they've perished, but we're no longer in contact. It's very depressing. To where it almost seems like the answer is suicide. The answer is not suicide, but to feel that type of depression, to feel that type of sorrow. And to understand Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 18, where it does say, again, for in much wisdom is much grief. Right? That to understand that now, to acquire the wisdom of how to become a better teacher, a better father, a better husband, a better brother, a better guide, a better everything, to acquire that wisdom, the grief that a person has to go through to achieve that. It does feel like, yes, I wish a millstone were tied around my neck and I would go and jump in the deepest part of the sea and just want to go hide and just disappear. That is very taxing. That it is very heavy and hard to deal with. That at no point and at no means was it ever anybody's intent to come in this truth and I just want to destroy you. To come into this work and I just want to use you. To come in this work and I just want to put you down. And again, for the years and years and years I put into studying the scriptures, as opposed to somebody who don't study no scriptures at all. So I can try to be the best teacher, the best leader, the best guide that I possibly can be. But in understanding that, damn, it's impossible. I mean, if your house I said it, how true is it? It's still going to be impossible for offenses not to come. And for people who don't study the scriptures, and you're just going off of feelings, you're just going by how you feel as opposed to even trying to apply any scripture. I personally, sitting here right now, don't know how you can do it. I don't know how you're able to survive. That as much as I've tried to make sure my walk with Christ has been in the scriptures, my walk with Christ, that I'm making decisions based on what the scripture says, not trying to cut my emotions out of it, trying to cut me out of it, and just let it be based on what the scripture says. As much as I try to live my life that way, to come back and still see the offenses that have been committed, the offenses that have been caused, it does hurt. And again, Ecclesiastes 1:18, as I rotate around that one more time, for in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. There's no getting around it. There is no getting around it. And this is the realization that I'm coming to. But again, in dealing with the depression, and dealing with the depression of not wanting to get off the couch, of not wanting to move, of not wanting to share a scripture with anybody, not wanting, almost like Adam in the garden, not wanting to let acknowledge that I'm an Israelite. Begging nobody calls me, ask a question about the scripture. Begging that I don't have to represent being an Israelite, because I'm going to open you up that once we get into a conversation, it's going to be one scripture, then two scriptures, then 10 scriptures, and the train's going to get rolling and going to pull you in, and the time's going to come, you're going to get offended. The time's going to come that it's going to be my fault that you don't stick around. It's going to be my fault that this scripture was pulled, that scripture was pulled, whether I put it in my personality, being kind of sarcastic, or whatever it might be, that now it's going to be my fault why you're not around. It's going to be my fault you didn't study. It's going to be my fault you didn't want to apply the scripture. And being very conscious of how the Most High feels about false prophets, being very conscious how the Most High feels about his sheep, and the honor and the privilege The highest calling that I believe man can achieve on the earth is the high calling of being able to call the Most High people back to him, to be one of the shepherds that helps shepherd and guide the Most High people, the children of Israel, the greatest nation of people on the planet that have been exiled and away from their power, exiled and away from their God for so long, to be a part of something so great, monumental, and historic, that from coast to coast, I have been able to help bring Israelites back to the Most High. I've been helped bring the lost sheep the message that their God is now coming for them, that their Savior is coming for them. And to be a part of that has been truly the greatest feeling and the greatest thing I could ever, ever imagine. That a little nerd kid, I can't even say little, an out-of-shape fat kid from Albuquerque, New Mexico, will be a part of something so monumental that it's helped spread the Most High's word from sea to sea, from San Diego, Juarez, Mexico, Tijuana, Mexico, got my geography messed up, from Tijuana, Mexico, all the way to New York City, to be a part of spreading this gospel to the Most High sheep, bringing this gospel, as Paul has said, and this is one thing that me and Kawakawa and Ariel and always quoted to ourselves, to be able to bring Christ that he'd never been mentioned before, to bring Yahweh Shai, the message of Yahweh Shai, the message of Christ, to where he had never been mentioned before, made me feel very special and a part of something very big and spectacular, that I'm not just a nobody. I'm not just as if you was from Albuquerque back in the late 80s, I went from being Bubba, where everybody knew me as Bubba, to where as soon as I came back from from the Navy, I was Marx's older brother. That's how I got identified. That my brother was a lot more outgoing, a lot more daring, a lot more athletic, a lot more than I ever was. But to understand that I've been a part of something special, something big, it really blew me away. So to know that is how my beginnings were, and that was my prayer to the Most High, that even if I can't make it to the kingdom, can I please be a part of helping get your people back to you? That was my prayer to the Most High back in 1987, right before I went to the Navy. Let me at least help bring your people back to you. And know that that has been fulfilled. But to go from that to understanding how many people have been hurt, how many people have been offended, it really does hurt. It really does hurt. And again, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 18, for in much wisdom is much grief. To be able to gain the wisdom of becoming a better leader, to be able to gain the wisdom and becoming a better teacher, because I just knew for sure that if I'm studying scriptures and I'm applying scriptures, I can't go wrong. And I'm not going to say that the scripture was ever wrong. I don't want that to be the message that's left. But to understand that, as I was going over the whole class yesterday, you're not going to become that effective teacher until you experience how to apply these scriptures in different situations. That it's impossible. That if your senses, your sensibility, your reasoning has not been exercised, has not been used, there is no way you're going to be able to discern good from evil, to know when it's time to apply this or when it's time to apply that. Because you a person goes through so many extremes. Okay, one time we was doing it this way, and I know why we was doing it this way, because in studying, this is what the scripture said. This is why we're doing it, because this is what the scripture says. As opposed to just doing it because I feel this way. Just doing it because my mama said so, my dad said so, or some nigga on YouTube said so. No. We're making these moves because this is what the scripture says. I'm going this way Because this is what the scripture said. I've been studying to show myself approved to the Most High. A workman, try not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But if you're not experienced, if you're not going to be experienced how to apply the scriptures in the different situations, to be able to gain the experience, the exercise, as spoken about in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, that you're not going to get it. You'll be a scribe, quoting scriptures, but actually knowing when a scripture should be applied, when it not should not be applied, or when one scripture is preferred over another scripture in a situation. You're not going to gain that until you've been in those situations. You're not going to gain that until you get in those scenarios. Otherwise, it's just a lot of talk. This is why even told everybody, he said, accept your righteousness, exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, or the scribes. You can't enter into the kingdom. So what were the scribes? They wrote down scriptures. Pharisees knew scriptures. Experts at the law. Are you wearing your friends? Is it this height, this length, or whatever? Are you wearing all linen drawers? I mean, they were experts at the law. The question, unless your righteousness exceeds that, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Knowing that the Most High said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear. We had to take these scriptures and apply them. Not just speak them, not just write them down, but I've got to apply them. I have to apply them and not be afraid to apply them and not be afraid of the consequence that there's going to be some grief, that there's going to be some sorrow. There's going to be an increase in grief. There's going to be an increase in sorrow. Matter of fact, I'm going to let Luke go. I'm going to get... I need to look it up. I'm hearing some notifications. Let me see here. Okay. Sorry about that, y'all. I'm just trying to make sure I keep up with everybody. Not leaving anybody out. If anybody knows who it's at, I'm looking for the scripture that says, wisdom will wobble you through crooked paths. Until you can trust your soul. And it's in the Apocrypha. I'm still here, y'all. Still here, y'all. As I'm looking for this. Right, Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha. Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 4 is what we're going to go to right now. And I'm going to start at verse 11. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 4. And I'm starting at verse 11. Wisdom of Solomon. I'm sorry, Ecclesiasticus. Forgive me. Please correct your notes. Ecclesiasticus chapter 4, starting at verse 11. Ecclesiasticus chapter 4, verse 11. It says, wisdom exalted her children, and lays hold on them that seek her. So the subject matter is wisdom. Okay? The subject matter is wisdom. It says, he that loveth her, loveth life. And they that seek to her early shall be filled with joy. He that holdeth her fast shall inherit glory. Whosoever... and wheresoever she entereth, the Lord will bless. They that serve her shall minister to the Holy One. And them that love her, the Lord doth love. Whoso giveth ear unto her shall judge the nations. and he that attendeth unto her shall dwell securely. If a man commit himself unto her, he shall inherit her, and his generation shall hold her in possession. Verse 17 is what I want to get to as we talk about wisdom. But I want to get to this point here, verse 17. It says, for at the first she will walk with him by crooked ways and bring fear and dread upon him. So we're dealing with the wisdom of the Most High, not the wisdom of the world, not the world's wisdom, dealing with the Most High's wisdom, dealing with the wisdom that comes from the Most High. I mean, there's too many scriptures that let you know. It's telling you. Ecclesiasticus chapter 4, verse 17. For at the first, she will walk with him by crooked ways. It's not just a straight path. As much as we become kind of spiritually lazy, become slothful, when it comes to really acquiring the wisdom of the Most High, why can't you just give it to me? I don't know how many times I've said that prayer over the years. God, why not just give me the wisdom? Why not just make me righteous? Why not just make that you're God and you have the power of everything? Why not just make this that way? But that's not how God works. If that was the case, God should have did that with Adam in the very beginning. Why is it taking all this time from downfall of Adam to us waiting for the return of Christ coming back again to get this? Because the Most High is subjecting us to something. He's actually teaching us an appreciation for what wisdom really truly is. Because, like a lot of coaches know this, if you don't invest into anything, you'll never feel like it's yours. Not even just, I say coach as far as a team, as far as a team sport or what have you, that you have to get an investment from a commitment is what I'm looking for. You have to get a commitment from people where they invest, whether it's the two-a-day practices, whether it's something like football, it's the diet, the workout regime, the spring weight program, weight training program, the actual season, the off-season weight training program. You got to invest. And the more a person is invested into what they're dealing with, the harder it is for them to let it go. The harder it is for them to walk away from it because they've invested so much. People do the same thing in a relationship. The one who's invested the most into a relationship is going to be the one who is hard to walk away from. The one who's done the most investing will be the last one to leave because they've invested that much. I'm invested. Ain't nobody leaving nobody. I've given up too much, and we came too far. Ain't nobody walking away. We're going to make this shit work. So the Most High has done Israel, done us the same way from the time of Adam all the way up to the time of Christ returns, the investment of the crooked way, the investment of all the mistakes that have been made. So that as we get the wisdom, we appreciate it. Whereas if we go back and look how everything was just given to Adam. So what was wrong? He didn't appreciate it. It was just given to him. Let us make man in our image. It was just given to him. But there was no appreciation for what the Most High had given him. As we came back as Israelites, we were given the promised land after going through the wilderness for 40 years and going through those trials, tribulations, but we were given the promised land. And from all the captivities and all the downfalls, in and out, back and forth, in and out, back and forth, he finally said to kick us out of the land. Now, as we're fighting to gain the Most High's wisdom through experience, we're fighting to gain the Most High's understanding through experience to develop an appreciation for what the Most High does and how the Most High does things. That now we're the lowest economically, even if you've got Oprah Winfrey money, this is the lowest economically Israelites have ever been as a nation, ever. This is the absolute worst. I don't care how many acres Oprah owns here in the States, in Bahamas, in Africa, wherever. This is the poorest as a nation we have ever been as a nation since nations have been on the planet Earth. This is horrible. This is absolutely horrible. But this is how the Most High works. So in verse 17 it says, for at the first she will walk with him by crooked ways. and bring fear and dread upon him, and torment him with her discipline until she may trust his soul and try him by her ways. Verse 18. Then will she return the straight way unto him and comfort him and show him her secrets. But if he go wrong, she will forsake him and give him over to his own ruin. And this was, if we can see this history being repeated with the Israelites, through all the captivities, through all the things that we've been through, we can see on a national scale where this has definitely happened. And we can see it on an individual scale that we're going to walk by crooked paths. We're going to walk by crooked ways. It's not going to be just straight. Just give it to me. Just make me righteous. Just make me spiritual. Just make me. It don't work that way. Let me wake up one day with wisdom. Let me take this pill, Adderall. Let me do this. Let me do that. Let me just have the wisdom that you gave to Solomon. Let me do the palm reading. Let me do the tarot cards. Let me do the necromancing. Let me do the seances. Let me do the interpreting of my dreams. Just give me the wisdom. Make it easy. But that is not how the Most High's wisdom is attained. It's through experience. We have to experience taking these scriptures and apply them in different situations to see them work and see this was not that the scripture is ever wrong, but that was the wrong time to apply that scripture. And then the Most High, he tells us, when we deal with that fear, I'm afraid to apply the scriptures because I might lose. You're not going to get it. The Most High didn't give a spirit of fear. Then he goes on to tell us in chapter 2, woe to the faint-hearted. I'm afraid to apply the scripture. I might lose. Then you're never going to give the Most High. You're not humble then. The Most High restores the spirit, the soul of the humble. He revives the spirit of the meek. When you forsake everything for his name's sake, he restores it back 100-fold. All that scripturally given, all that scripturally based. But if you're sitting there like the wicked servant that knew that his Lord was an austere man, but was afraid to do anything with the talent, where the scripture says the talent that was given to him, I'm scared, so I just hid it. I didn't use it. I didn't apply it. I just hid it. So I don't know what it means to apply your scriptures. I don't know what it means to use your scriptures. I don't know what it means to use your scriptures and like Job had to go through and lose. But be able to come back and see how and to apply the scriptures the right way. I ain't going to say the right way. How to apply the scriptures in the right season. But not be afraid. I mean, hell, the scripture said the things written aforetime written for our learning. Things written aforetime were written for our learning. The fear. I don't want to be like Job, so I ain't going to be going through that. I ain't going to be nobody's fool, so I ain't going to be going through that. I bet. So you don't want the Most High's wisdom. And you don't want to go through the steps that it takes to get the Most High's wisdom. And what did Christ call that servant that just hid the talent and didn't want to use it? Because he was fearful. Yahweh Shai didn't call him fearful. Yahweh Shai called him wicked and slothful. You talk about you're afraid to lose, you're afraid of whatever. What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? And yeah, there's going to be mistakes made. And again, remember what Christ said? And if some of these scriptures come to mind as you're going into this class, didn't Christ say that unless you enter in as a babe, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven? There's a toddler get mad because he falls? There's a toddler get up and try and walk once. It didn't work. So he's like, you know what? Oh, I tried that once before. Nope, I fell. Hurt my butt. Nope, ain't doing it. Nope. I tried it at one time. It didn't work. I found out for me, you know, my spirit is telling me that I really don't need to walk. Walking's overrated. My spirit's telling me that, you know what, that's not really necessary to have to walk. because I tried it once. I fell. It hurt my butt. I'm not doing it again. But I let you enter in as a child. What does a babe, a toddler, do when he's learning to walk? He's not even tripping. He's learning to walk. He's going. He falls. He does what? He gets back up. He's trying till he gets it. And it's not no thing. He don't sit there with an attitude. He sit there with an attitude looking sideways at his parents, talking about, y'all niggas made me go through this. Y'all made me go through this, and y'all are wrong. And because y'all made me go through this, I'm never going to walk again. I'm never going to try to walk again. Because, no. How is that being spiritual? How is that being that babe that Christ said, that unless you enter in as little children, you ain't going to see the kingdom? I tried it once, and it just wasn't right there. It was a crooked path. I tried it once, and fear and dread came upon me. I tried it once, and I was tormented with a discipline. I didn't keep the discipline, so you know what? I determined maybe I'm not supposed to be Israelite. You know, I determined maybe this ain't really for me. You know, I was doing some research. There might have been an Elamite in my family back in the day. And I was like curry chicken. And you know, I'm really kind of, if I look at my hair strands, it's not really the kinkiest. Maybe I'm not really Israel. Maybe I was just meant to get others here, and it wasn't really meant for me. Nah, that's not how this works, G. That is not how this works. We're supposed to take the Most High's wisdom, take these scriptures, and become practiced in applying them through exercise. And the more we use them, the more we're going to perfect them. The more we're going to move on to perfection, the better we're going to get at it. Just like that baby taking his first steps. He takes one, maybe two steps unassisted and falls. Feels good about himself because of the reaction of the parents. And then he's encouraged. Okay, walk a little further. Walk a little further. And as he falls, uh-oh. And then as you have more children and they get to the point where they fall, you learn, don't just run up to them real quick with a scared look on your face and you start crying, because that's going to make them cry more. But you come up on them, like, uh-oh, get up. And you get that positive face, that positive look, you're teaching your child right then and right there. You teach, that child is learning right then and right there. Get up and try it again. Get up and try it again. You can do it. Good job. And you exhort. And you push and you motivate and encourage. Keep going. Before you know it, that child gets so quick, you can barely keep up with it. And now he wants to walk everywhere. She wants to walk everywhere. Let me down. Then they learn that toddlers wiggle. Or how to maneuver their body so they fall through your arms so they can get to the ground because they want to go. That's how a child does things. But we as Israelites, we're just from, well, I tried it once before. I got hurt. I ain't doing that shit no more. Nope. I tried it. It didn't work. That was my spirit. And I love how Israelites get, we develop a vocabulary all of a sudden. My spirit told me that you know, for my spirit, you know, for my spirit, for me and my spirit, stop. You don't even know what spirit means. You can barely spell spirit. But now all of a sudden, my spirit's telling me that this ain't really for me. And you don't know what the hell's for you. You're a child. You're a babe. You've never done this before. You're right. You're right. You don't know what you're doing. But that's okay. Yahweh Shai, the Most High, I already told you, he knows that we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. He knows you don't know better. And that'd be the other excuse you like to use, right, Israelites? Man, I've never done one of these before, man, so I don't know if this is before me. This is easy for you because you're in the military. Man, this is easy for you because you weren't in the military. This is easy for you because you grew up in church. Well, it's easy for you because you didn't grow up in church, so you're just running pure. Everybody's looking at everybody, but why is it easier for them? Well, you grew up with your parents. Well, you grew up, you know, learn how to survive, being independent, man. This would be easy for you then. Everybody can say that. As they're trying to back out of, why do I have to apply scripture? Why do I got to go through this? I'm afraid. I'm scared. But you're not going to acquire the Most High's wisdom. We are not going to acquire the Most High's understanding. We got to go through crooked paths. Is written. So with that, I do want to go. Let's go back to John. And shalom, everybody. For those that are tuning in, as I've seen the caller queue is definitely lining up. I see my brother right here. I'm gonna see if he wants to come in. I'm gonna see if he wants to come in. Hey, shalom. Can you hear me? Hello. I'm going to do it like this. And I'm about to call you out. Everybody, I'm putting a little music. Give me 2 seconds or 2 minutes.
Romans 2 and 5.
Nope.
Righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
render unto every man according to his
nope.
deeds. To them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek
nope.
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, my.
Great Lucas.
Yep. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Walk, so why keep on trying?
Everybody got choices.
Choose the right path and nothing can stop us.
Everybody got choices.
Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah.
Everybody got choices.
Choose the right path and save your soul.
Never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Shalom, good evening. I'm joined right now by a longtime brother of mine, longtime friend of mine. I'm joined by the brother Bonabad right now. All right? I'm joined by brother Bonabad as we're going to go ahead and continue with this class. What about the water for joining me with this? The water, sir.
Oh, you're on the bar, man. She helps you out.
Okay, all right, cool. So, as we're going over, it does say that in the acquiring of wisdom, there's much grief. In the acquiring the most high's knowledge, you're going to increase in sorrow. There's no getting around that. It's impossible, again, that offense is going to come. But when it says, woe to him by whom the offenses come, the depression and the sorrow that is felt when a brother, a sister, or somebody leaves behind my actions, behind my decisions, behind what I did, and not because I wasn't studying the scripture, not because I was trying to lead them away astray maliciously, but, and again, I thought my secret was going to be, if I stay studied up so much, I can never go wrong. But if I stay, even in that saying, staying studied, and I don't want to say that studying is fruitless, that it shouldn't be done. Well, the point I want to make sure I'm getting across is it's work. It says study, destroy some of the fruit of the Most High, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, right, dividing the word of truth. It takes work. And in this work, the only way you're going to gain the wisdom of the Most High is through experience. And it's going to be through the ups and downs. It's going to be through, like we just read, until the fear and dread is brought upon us, until the torment or the discipline is brought upon us, that's when we require the wisdom. As we say, hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah.
This from brothers that be studying the scriptures, as opposed to those who you're just living your life based on this how you feel. You live your life, make your decisions based on a dream. You live your life and make your decisions based on horoscopes. But you don't live the fact that you really don't live your life based on what the scripture says, out of fear, you really are missing out. Now, I don't want to just leave that fear is all there is and dread is all there is. I don't want that to be the taste. And again, that's what I said. And if we don't enter into the key and enter into this thing like babes, when you watch that newborn. That newborn's trying to walk. He's coasting. He's holding on to the coffee table, going around. And then he's going to go from the coffee table to the chair. And he takes some first steps. When he falls on his butt, does he look around and look at the adults and be like, y'all knew this was going to happen, and y'all still have me, let me go through this? To hell with y'all. That baby don't do that. That baby gets right back up and tries it again, not even thinking about it. If we don't understand that, if we want to acquire the Most High's wisdom, there is no way in heck you're going to acquire the Most High's wisdom playing it safe. There's no way in heck you're going to acquire the Most High's wisdom and you're not going to get out there into the mix and not gain the experience. The Most High's wisdom doesn't come that way. But in St. John chapter 16 and verse 7, this is what Christ left us in St. John chapter 16 verse 7. Are you got the formula?
Yep, I sure do. St. John chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell the truth. I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I may go, that I may go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you.
I'm telling you, as I'm looking at these scriptures again, if this journey was going to be easy, if this journey was going to be like Dorothy traveling down the yellow brick road,
yeah,
then why would there be a need for a comforter?
Exactly. Yeah.
If Ecclesiastes 1:18 is a lie, that in gaining the Most High's wisdom, there's going to be much grief. And gaining the Most High's knowledge, you're going to increase in sorrow. If this was going to be an easy road or an easy path, then why would it be necessary for the Most High to send a comforter. And we know that comforter is talking about these scriptures.
Yep.
But I love what's being said here in verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Why was it expedient for Christ that he had to go away? Because as long as Christ was there, the disciples was never going to experience trying to use the scriptures.
That's true. That's true.
All we got to do is keep following Christ and we're good. Why study? He's right here.
There you go. Yep.
Why study? Why meditate? Why? He's right here.
Yeah,
I'm going to be on coast mode. He said, it's expedient that I go away. Because the way Israel is, we would never grow.
Yep. Yep. The words would never really come to life. So I'm like, it would always be like, you know how you hear some people say, I'm reading the scriptures in third party. Like,
okay.
I'm reading it, but I'm reading it like it's a story.
Right.
But when you have to, when you're going through things and you have to turn back to the book, all of a sudden, the breakdown, even with just the breakdown that you was getting, all of a sudden you start reading over certain scriptures like this, and you going over this, this scripture was in the baptism breakdown. When you go back over it, you're like, wait a minute, this is clear. Now I understand what he's talking about. Before, it was a breakdown. It was just a breakdown that you used to attack baptism. The church just used baptism. But now you went through something, you come back and you read it again, you're like, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. This can be used so much more. It's so much deeper than I imagined, but it's not till you're going through something that those words come back. And you made a good point, even with a babe. You think about children leaving. Moses said, the scripture says, train up a child in the way it should go, and then when he's older, he won't depart, right?
Okay.
But what got me was if I learned the book, so the Most High has thoroughly prepared us. We've been in the Bible. We've been in the scriptures. We've been prepared. All that was missing was that thing that you need to go through so that now those words, they take on a form. They take on a form now. In the class together on prayer. Just putting this, going through, you're putting scriptures together, you're like, okay, I understand. It don't make what you're going through any less difficult. It wasn't hard, but there's comfort. These words are comforting, and they've always been that. They've always been comforting. They've always been our source of comfort, but a lot of times the Most High was shielding us from a lot of things that we could have been going through.
Yeah.
So now, and I like the point you're getting to is the fact is if Christ can move out of the way for a minute, if we don't step back, if we don't grow up and step out, I'll never be able to see the real power of the Word. I'll never see how comforting it is. If I'm angry and I say, you know what, like you said earlier, Mishab, you said, so when brothers get angry, they just, when a sister get angry, I ain't reading the Bible no more. And I'm not going to do that anymore. The Spirit told me I'm not going over there no more. I'm not hanging out with them people. I'm not opening that book anymore. Well, you can take that mind frame, but guess what you won't ever get? You'll never get the comfort that you're looking for.
Huh.
Never get it, because that is the place where the comfort comes from. If I may, just I just wanted to read this, but not to take it off. It goes right with what you were saying. It was in Romans chapter 15,
mm-hmm.
in verse 4, right? I don't know if we went there, but Romans 15 and 4.
I just quoted it, but if you want to read it, cool. I quoted it, but we didn't actually read it. If you want to read it, cool.
Just real quick, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforehand were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So like you quoted, our hope is in the fact that the Most High is going to now show me or bring back to my remembrance things that I went over, things that I said, I thought, well, this is just words. This is really not that important. But wow, it is important. The things I've been reading about, they're very important because this is what molds our hope. This is what keeps us going. Getting up every day and pushing on is the fact that you let the scriptures be your comfort. But going back, this is St. John chapter 16.
And I'm glad you did bring that scripture out in Romans 16 and 4, because speaking from experience, when a person is feeling, again, the sorrow, the grief, and the depression, it's right here in these streets. Well, it's real in his book also. And desiring comfort, there's only so much a man can drink trying to find comfort. There's only so much sex can be had trying to find some type of comfort. There's only so much Netflix binge watching. There's only so much workouts. There's only so much music I can try and drown myself into. There's only so much for others, smoking. I'm just going to stay distracted. Again, I don't want to be recognized or seen as an Israelite again. I want to just fade to black. And so I can try and find some comfort because this is painful. Because this hurts. But again, both the comfort that was provided, not only what was the comfort provided, but again, to prove that the Bible is true. Not because the sun came up tomorrow, like some Annie song.
Yeah, man.
But are you going through the grief and the sorrow in acquiring the Most High's wisdom and his knowledge?
Come on.
That there is a need for the Most High to send a comforter.
Right. Yeah.
If this was going to be an easy thing, even Yahushua in the Garden of Gethsemane had to have angels come and comfort him for what he was going through.
God.
If Yahushua needed comfort to complete his mission and his journey, how is it we don't need comfort? But what comfort are we seeking? I got a broken heart. Some of them break some hearts. Really? That's the comfort that's going to answer the question? That's going to fill the hole? That's going to fill the void? Man, I need to get some prescription drugs. I need some lithium. I need some Prozac. I need something, man. I'm diagnosed bipolar manic depressive. No, you're described in the scriptures that in gaining the Most High's wisdom, in gaining the Most High's knowledge, how you know you made the wrong decision in whatever it is, you had to endure and experience some type of loss. It had to happen, and you were not going to grow until that happened. The Most High. It's like you always used to say about. These scriptures are meant to be lived, not just read.
Yeah. You're gonna live them out. There's no way to be in alive, know this book, and then not be tried by it. It's like the most I'm trying, but the test is not to fail. It's the same test that a child goes through when they take their first steps. And I heard you talk about a baby walking. They take their first steps, and someone is behind them encouraging them as they walk. That is the test. The test is not, did you fail? You don't want your child not to walk. You want to encourage, but you want them to try and know that while they're trying and they're learning, I'm behind them. I'm behind you, holding your hand. I was holding your arms. You know, hold your arms, to hold you up with a towel, and you learn to walk. You got on the bike, I held the back of the seat. You know what I'm saying?
Done.
There's nothing that you've done that I haven't, as a parent, I haven't been there holding you up. When you were getting bad grades in school, I was calling the teachers for you. So even when I was looking at your butt, I still was looking out for the other end also. And the most I've been doing the same thing. I've been holding your seat. I've been holding your hand. I've been doing it all. I gave you the source to succeed. That didn't mean you wasn't going. That didn't mean you wasn't going to fall down. That didn't mean that you wasn't going to bump your head. That didn't mean that you was going to scrape your knee. That didn't mean that you weren't going to now spiritually feel things and go through things. The test is not the fact that you went through it and you did or didn't do. The test is knowing, hey, when I went through it, that it was something I never knew before. We're all beginners at this.
Huh.
We've been all in here just following from the time we came in to now, learning as we go. And you're right, Mashaba, it takes some men and women, they have the courage to try to continue learning. Some have just decided, you know what, it was easier to give up than to keep just allowing myself to learn.
Again, the learning comes from experience, not because I just sat in the book, not because I just went and watched a couple sunsets, not because I went to the ocean and was just waiting for the salt water, the salt air to hit my brain to see what notions I got. No. Not because I stared at the bottom of a glass, of a wine glass, and trying to drown my sorrows. I had to get back in. I know that the Bible works. I got to get back and try it again. The scripture says a just man does what? Falls seven times. Well, what does he do? He gets back up.
Back up, man. Yep.
He doesn't become that wicked, slothful servant that, you know what, I tried this once already. It didn't work. I'm not going to do it again. Which is why I find myself in part of my confession, I've been wicked and slothful. In my depression, I've been wicked and slothful. As opposed to, you know, Mashaba, you know what to do. It's time to go do it.
Yeah, you fell, well, like I said, what about you? Fell down. That's all I can look at it. You fell down. So get back up. That's all a person can do. We have to keep striving till Christ come back. If I keep listening to the thoughts that are in my head, they're only making me more depressed, and they're making me more, separated. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to separate myself from anything that has a dude look like an Israelite. I'm not. I'm going back. I wouldn't got me a Jake job to damn near, if my face ain't shaved, right there close enough. Well, I fit into the job. I'm comfortable with everybody calling me Shem.
The fact of wanting to go get a vape and do some of the CBD oil, or better yet, go get some cannabis.
Right. Yep.
A Newport.
Yep. It ain't got so comfortable, Michelle. On my job, all these dudes ride the trucks. They smoke nothing but weed. They smoke in the truck. You know, I would normally be like, man, I don't do that shit around me. I don't smell like that. I just roll the window down. As long as it blows out the window, I don't care. I'm going to go through, get off, and move on. There's no standard. You start to lose that standard because you're trying to now run from who you are.
Time.
Life ain't built like that, man. The Most High ain't built like that. It's never about our destruction. Even going into captivity, going against the commandments of the Most High put into captivity, He said it was never for your destruction. It was for you to learn. A failure is not destruction. It's for you to learn.
Time.
For all of us to learn. I love the point you're making. I'm also sitting there and do everything. I said the comforter. The hat is in the comforter. You know why? Because I knew that you didn't know. I knew that you were going to fail. So I already had the backup plan.
Huh.
It's crazy. In the chapter that you're reading in St. John, when you go to verse 13, and I'm not going to take it, I just wanted to read that, read this one part on it. The beginning of 13 says, "How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." So in every situation, what's the truth about the situation? Then that's what the word Bible is going to do. It's going to guide you to what this really is about. Your real understanding. It's like I'm going to guide you to understand. So the more I turn away from the book, I'm not even allowing myself to understand whatever. If it's a lesson, then fine. Learn the lesson, but the book is what's going to teach you the lesson. If it was something you needed to work in yourself, then the book is going to guide you to that understanding. But if I turn away from it, then I'm never going to allow myself to be guided to the truth. And that's what we said we was here for. We used to call this, we came into the truth. You can't see you coming into the truth, but you want to allow yourself to see the truth. And the truth is something that's guided, is you're guided to.
Yeah. We have 60 seconds left.
Yeah. I think we're gonna have to go back to that longer class. So that 3 hour one, we have to get back on that one, man. You know what I'm saying?
Time. But, you know, it is going on whatever time it is here in San Antonio right now. 10:30. It's Friday night, but it is 10:30. If you like, but I don't know if you have anything going on Sunday, but we can definitely pick this back up on Sunday.
Brother, I ain't got nothing going on Sunday. I don't even work, so that's even better, man. So we can get together. We can get together and do it from the same spot if you want to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that works.
I'll set that up like that, man, and we can really go to class again, man.
Or maybe we go to another brother's house where there's not so many families getting ready for Monday morning school.
Oh, that's true. That's true, too. Okay, we'll put it together.
Cool. It's not like we're going to talk. We're going to talk definitely before then.
Fine.
All right, so with that then, brother, the water for coming in and joining in, and for all of the sisters I see on the switchboard, the water for calling on this Friday night. I know that you have many different options as far as there was class tonight in San Antonio at the school. There was class in San Antonio in Houston at the school, and then we know that Kazaki had handled the YouTube live stream class earlier this evening. So for those that did get a chance to tune in and catch our live broadcast, The Water, for that. Thank you for that. And you catch the archive show, The Water. Tonight, you catch the archive show, The Water. And as a reminder, for those in the Albuquerque area, as we're doing our remote broadcast from, remember tomorrow's Sabbath feast will be at, as I pull it up again, Riverview Park. All right? Tomorrow's Sabbath feast will be at Riverview Park which is located at Butterfield Trail Northwest and Golf Course Road Northwest. Okay, that's Butterfield Trail Northwest and Golf Course Road Northwest, Albuquerque, Mexico, 87120. The Sabbath feast will begin tomorrow at 12, along with the Torah readings, going over the reading and everything, and then we have all the families congregated and enjoy the meals together. With that, tomorrow's Saturday. As you know, Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge YouTube channel will be broadcast tomorrow at 10 a.m. Houston time. That will be 9 a.m. Albuquerque time. It would be, I believe that's 12 a.m. If you guys are on the East Coast, if you want to live stream the tomorrow's Sabbath ceremony in San Antonio at 10 p.m. If you would like to join the Brothers of War, Shasharon, and the other brothers for Sabbath service tomorrow, that starts tomorrow at 10. And with that, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. And we will try and go ahead and continue this class on Sunday. Please stay tuned, stay posted. As I was sending out the text bomb, so that everybody knows that the show is starting and when it's starting and all that good stuff, all the good information. With that, if you have any questions about tonight's class or any class that we've done, please text me, hit me up, area code 210-784-8463. I'll get back to you. Okay? Brother Bonabod, the Wanak, appreciate it.
God. Yep,
and with
man,
that,
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it too, Shabbat. I'm going to say that I'll take shalom too.
Cool, yeah. With that, we're going to run and say shalom, man. Shalom, Israel.
Shalom, Israel.